Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thank you for listening to AFR. And joining me to co-host the program today is Walker Wildman. How you doing, Walker?
Good morning.
Also, Fred Jackson.
Yes, sir. Good to be here.
Dr. Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. Yourself?
Listen, everybody here in Kansas City is so overjoyed. Yesterday, we signed Patrick Mahomes to a $350, $400 million contract to be quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs for the next 10 years. So everybody here feels good this morning.
You know, that kind of begs the question to me. Should you start maybe a three-year-old and training them to be a quarterback?
That's right.
And just skip academics altogether with the shot at going to the NFL and getting a $300 million contract, Fred? What would be your thoughts on that as a as a responsible parent?
I'm doing the numbers in my head. It's a 10-year contract, $400 million. So that's $40 million a year, right?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, they've not put the exact numbers out, but yeah, it's something like that, right? We're in the neighborhood.
And how many games in an NFL season?
16 regular season.
16 right. Into 40 million goes, is it 2 million a game?
He's not going to miss a house note.
No.
You, Walker?
No.
I think he'll probably pay off his car.
I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, he'll be okay.
He'll get by.
Gracious.
Well, I tell you what, with that comes a lot of pressure to perform. Of course, he's proven he's an excellent quarterback. But
They say, it's good work if you can get it.
Yeah,
so.
That's right.
Yeah.
But the Kansas City Chiefs, you think the Chiefs are going to be able to keep their name? Ray, would you say?
Well, as you know, that's what's happening in Washington and Cleveland. It's gonna move here to Kansas City.
But the Chiefs is an honoring name, right?
That's right, and they don't use an Indian face. They have the arrowhead, so maybe
they'll survive the cancel culture. Right. When I was a kid, we went over to Atlanta to watch the Braves play. I was a St. Louis Cardinals fan, but I like the Braves too. But my dad took our family over to Atlanta for vacation. It was Cardinals versus Braves, and Henry Aaron was still playing. I think it was his last year. Hank Aaron, this would have been 73, maybe something like that. Anyway, whenever Atlanta hit a home run, they had a teepee down there in the bullpen area, and Chief Nakahoma would come out to.
Chief Nakahoma.
Chief Nakahoma. Get it?
I get it.
Chief Nakahoma.
You could not do that today, right?
No. No.
Chief Nakahoma went into the unemployment line there after, I don't know when that happened, probably in the 90s, when the woke culture first started. Oh, I don't know. It may have been earlier than that, but I just remember. Looking back, there are a lot of things like that you would never even be thought of today. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. Walker, should someone like to follow us on the internet, what can they do?
Yes, they can go to our website, afr.net, afr.net. We're also on Facebook and YouTube. The show is Today's Issues. And lastly, they can download the app. It's on your tablet device, phone, and many other devices. You can download the AFR app and listen live. Catch past shows there.
So, Walker, you think the New England Patriots will be able to keep there? Because it's, you know, kind of immoral to be a Patriot
today. Yeah, I mean,
you're celebrating, you know, the early founding of our country.
Yeah.
Which was a lot of white men, some of them whom owned slaves. So,
yeah,
get rid of the Patriots, you think?
Yeah, I mean, if we're following the trend of the woke culture, then, yeah, the Patriots, they got to go.
And Ed said yesterday the Vikings need to be gone because they pillaged and stole and took a lot of land in Northern Europe. Anyway, we'll see how far this thing goes with all these name changes. That's if they even have a football season, right? We don't even know if that's going to happen or not, if it's going to happen with or without fans. You said you're a hockey fan, are you, Fred?
Chicago Blackhawks, yeah. But I haven't heard anything, and Ray is formerly from Chicago. I have not heard through the years any serious talk, at least, of changing the Chicago Blackhawks name, you know?
But the Blackhawks, are the Blackhawks named after a tribe?
I'm assuming. I haven't checked the history of that, but probably is named after a tribe. So,
I think a tribe name you can keep as long as the tribe agrees to it. I don't even know if the Blackhawks are, I don't know.
That'd be like Florida State and the Seminole tribe, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Seminole tribe, they want the Florida State University to keep that nickname. They like that. They find pride in that. As a lot of, the Redskins have surveyed Indians,
mm-hmm.
American Indians or Native Americans, and they don't have a problem with the name. But we'll see where all this wokeness stops. All right, Fred, what's in the news?
Well, we didn't talk about this at our story meeting this morning, but I was just listening to an interview with former governor of Arkansas, Mike Huckabee. And the subject was about the polls, all the polls that we're seeing out there right now, and how far behind President Trump is, allegedly behind Joe Biden. And he made a point about, okay, what are people going to do come November? Is it going to be about personalities, the two personalities, or is it going to be about policy? Because, I mean, you can shoot arrows at both men as far as personalities go.
We can't
shoot arrows. Point guns.
Point guns.
Throw rocks.
Anyway, go ahead.
But the issue is America going to look at policy differences? I mean, you have the Louisiana Senator John Kennedy?
Yeah.
On Fox and Friends, we'll play that for you now. It's cut number three, warning America what will happen if they elect Joe Biden. Cut three.
Well, the vice president says he will transform America. He will, and the American people will pay a fearsome price. His foreign policy is hugs and hot cocoa. If he's elected, my advice to you is build a fallout shelter. You'll need it. Weakness invites the wolves.
Yep.
His domestic policy, he wants all of us to surrender our money and our freedom, every bit of it, to Washington. If you want 52 weeks of vacation a year, vote for him, because he's going to bankrupt your employer.
So, you know, that's Senator so Kennedy true. Makes the point.
Yeah.
Are Americans going to wake up, stop talking about personalities, and talk about the policy differences, which are vast between the two parties?
Yeah. I mean, Joe Biden is the face of the Democrat Party right now because he's the nominee. And, you know, Senator Kennedy is right, because you look at Democrat cities across the country right now, the crime has minimum doubled in the big cities run by Democrats. And so he's right. I mean, you want a more dangerous society, then elect a Democrat.
Well, what do you think about what Kennedy said there, Ray?
Well, you know, the problem, Tim, is we are living in a personality-driven age. I agree 1,000%. We ought to be looking at the policies. But this is a Facebook, Instagram, Twitter world we're living in now. So, and then that's part of the problem any politician has. You got to look good. You got to sound the part. You got to say the right kind of things. How is President Trump going to grab the attention of the American people and lay the case out? I mean, I don't think there's anybody that can do it as effectively as he can. I'm skeptical on the point that we can ever get people to look at policy differences in a personality-driven, media-centered world like we have today. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I am.
Yeah.
Well, it's a long way to November.
Right.
You know, we got to If you believe the polls, almost all polls are showing the president behind former Vice President Biden. But as we talked before, there's several factors there that are unknowns. And one is, so what about the people who are going to vote for President Trump, but they don't say so because they fear they might lose their job?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or they don't want to get into an argument over the phone with some person who says they're a pollster.
Right.
Secondly, polls are harder to judge today because you don't have landlines. And so people are having to find other ways. You know, the old traditional way of polling back in the before cell phones became so popular, you'd call people at home and ask them. Well, now you got cell phones. It's different. It's a different, as we saw, the polls were wrong in 2016. And then you've got the economy. Will it rebound? Is it showing signs that it will? That will help President Trump. Then Joe Biden has to come out of the basement at some point. And he comes out of the basement and starts doing press conferences, if he does them at all. He'll have to debate once, at least, President Trump. And I think that would be a big risk for Biden.
Yeah.
Because the chances of him, you know, doing something to hurt himself, saying something, having a memory lapse or a big gaffe that he's prone to do, that could on a debate stage probably be watched by more than any other more watched than any other debate in history, I would guess. Mm-hmm. Trump versus Biden, for some of the reasons Ray just mentioned, the personality differences. So, again, we'll see what happens. I do think, too, that the lawlessness that is taking place across the country and being fostered by the left, that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt Biden, too, because unless he comes out strongly against it, and I don't think he's going to, because I don't even know if he knows what's going on, quite frankly. There was somebody the other day said Biden needs to make a firm statement against, tearing down all these monuments. And what is he going to say about the George Washington and Thomas Jefferson memorials in Washington, D.C., for example? Mm-hmm. Is he going to defend those? Does he even know how? Mm-hmm. And then also one other thing that hurts former President Biden, and there are certainly some things that hurt President Trump, but Biden is that he's, as I said yesterday, he's trying to become woke on the fly. You know, he doesn't know this about all this stuff that's coming down the pipe at 100 miles an hour now. That isn't his world. He's always been liberal, but he's never been, he's not a communist like some of the, or Marxist, as the people making up a large segment of the Democratic Party are. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that Biden won't join in and say me too, excuse the pun, mm-hmm. Say I'm as Marxist and socialist as anybody, I'm as woke as anybody, but that hasn't been his history. No. I'm just saying. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. If you'd like to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Dr. Frank Turek joins us now, as he does most Tuesdays, from Charlotte, North Carolina, or that area. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well. Hey, you and I follow professional golf, and your acquaintance or your friend, Webb Simpson, there from the Charlotte area, he's playing well, isn't he?
Webb is tearing it up, and he's got 5 kids at home, so he's a busy man. Yeah, he's a Christian as well, as you know.
So when he leaves for the weekend to go play golf for 4 days, honey, I'm sorry, I have to go golf to make a living, right?
Yeah, that's right. And right now he's making quite a living.
Yeah,
and
he's doing well. You know, I pull for him when I see him on the weekends.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I would, if I had the talent, I wouldn't want to do that, because it's just, those guys are on the road a lot, Tim.
It's a grind.
It's a grind. And it's a lot of pressure too. I think it's a glamorous life. Their sponsors expect them to place or win.
You know, so there's a lot of pressure. All right, let's talk. The topic today is you don't judge a philosophy or a country by its abuse. You judge it by its ideals, says Dr. Frank Turek. So that you're speaking to what's going on in our country right now, coming from the political left, and that is they want to cancel America, basically. Talk about that.
Well, I think obviously every country has issues. There's no question because we're full of fallen people. But the United States proclaimed equal treatment under the law for all because of the Creator. We're all made in the image of God. We're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. You can't improve upon that. There is no way to improve upon that particular principle that we all should be treated equally under the law because we're endowed by our Creator with certain rights. How can you get better than that? Now, we haven't always lived up to these ideals, but of course no country has either because, as I said, we're all flawed people. We're fallen. But think about our country. No country in history has had the founding that we had, grounded in those principles I just mentioned. No country in history went to war over itself or with itself to end slavery. And it seems to me that when you kneel before the flag, it really looks like you're protesting what the flag stands for, not how fallen people have behaved. If you want to protest how fallen people have behaved, whether it's the police or somebody else, protest them, but don't protest the ideal that the country stands for. Protest the unjust behavior of a few. Don't protest the entire country whose ideals are justice for all. Where else do you have this? If it exists somewhere else in the other 199 or so countries out there, I don't exactly know where. It seems like our country, when we say American exceptionalism, we don't mean that Americans as people are exceptional. What we mean is the ideals upon which our country was founded and are supposed to be governed by are exceptional. So why protest that? Yeah. That's what you want.
Yeah, and I noticed these people who are putting America down all the time, like Colin Kaepernick, for example, and others on the left. They don't give us a country somewhere in the world as a model for how, you know, what America should look like if it were to be something, you know, that they would approve of. So why is that, Frank? Why can't they give us one example of something better, and why don't they move?
Yeah, everybody's trying to come here, you know. Why are they all trying to come here? Because it is the greatest country on earth, despite all the flaws we have. And this is not to minimize racism or to minimize when police do wrong things, because that happens, because police are people just like the rest of us. But that ought to be protested, not the entire country, because the entire country ideally is what we all want. We all want equal treatment under the law, and that's what our laws say. Now, can we improve upon the laws? Doesn't seem like we can improve upon the ideals upon which our country was founded. Can we improve upon laws below that may be unjust? Of course. Well, let's have a conversation. Let's do that. But I've seen very few real concrete proposals from the left on these issues. I'm always asking people, tell us policy-wise what needs to change. What policies need to change? I get very few answers when I ask that question.
Walker?
Yeah, Frank. It seems in modern history, Christians specifically, and you could go more broadly and say conservatives, but Christians, when they want change, they want policy change, we either elect new people or we put ballot initiatives up for a vote, or we do a constitutional amendment like we did with the marriage issue. But when the left wants something, they burn things down.
Or they go through the courts, and the courts just decide to impose their will on the 335 million people in the country, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Ray, what do you think about this topic?
Well, Frank, I want to ask you about the question of the slaveholders. I noticed over the weekend when the president went to Mount Rushmore, one CNN reporter said, well, there he was standing in front of two slaveholders talking about Washington and Lincoln. Well, or Washington and Jefferson. So it is a fact that some of the men who signed the Declaration of Independence were slaveholders. How do we deal with that in terms of what we say about America's founders?
Yeah, I would say we don't celebrate their slaveholding. We celebrate the principles by which slavery was eradicated, that they advocated. In fact, if you read the Declaration of Independence, all men are created equal. Jefferson wanted to get rid of slavery, but he couldn't hold the union of 13 colonies together in order to do it at the time. So, of course, you don't want to...
George Washington freed his slaves upon his death. Let me just say something. Having heard Stephen McDowell, he can give a whole lecture on this, of the Providence Foundation on America and slavery. It's very complicated to try to go back into that era of time and just say, well, they should have done this or shouldn't have done that. America didn't invent slavery. All right.
Right.
It's been around since man has been around. And guess what? In Africa, blacks enslave blacks, and they still do today, even. Whites have enslaved whites. It's been more about tribes down through history and ethnicity than it has been about countries, necessarily. So, and a very few Americans, a low percentage of Americans, when we became America, even owned slaves. Uh-huh. And as Frank said, we went to war. If you want to say, well, white people brought slavery to America, well, guess what? White people also ended slavery in America, right? Mm-hmm. But you never hear that.
No.
You just hear this, the left, just what they're wanting to do is cancel. They want to turn America into a Marxist country.
Yes. Mm.
That's their goal. That's their objective. This other stuff is just to inflame people and to stir up trouble and to cause racial division in our country. Go ahead, Frank.
No, I was going to say also that people today put themselves on the moral high ground and think that everything they think is true and right. Now, obviously, we think we're right about slavery. It's immoral. But the same people who are saying slavery is immoral on the left are many of the same people who are saying it's just perfectly fine to go into a woman's womb and rip a child apart. Mm. Now, yeah. I'm hoping that 50 years from now, we're going to look back on this generation and say, how could we have been so callous and immoral to allow this to occur? How could we have done this? Oh, if I was back in that time, I would have been against it. No, right now you're for abortion. Why are you for abortion? Because you're selective in your moral stances here. More black children are killed in the womb than they are in the streets.
Well, also, yes, indeed. And in China, for example, you don't hear much from the left criticizing a totalitarian state that abuses and kills like China does. Mm. And their mistreatment of their own citizens, a lot of the same people who are wanting to go back to our founding aren't saying anything about China as they do business over there.
As they play the NBA over there. LeBron James is rightfully calling out racism in America, but he won't say a word about this kind of thing happening in China. Why not?
No, in fact, they when Hong Kong was at its, the freedom protesters in Hong Kong were making a big statement a few months ago. The Houston Rockets general manager said something in favor of their movement. Well, the NBA came down on his head. Mm-hmm. And so why? Because the NBA is making a lot of money.
All the money.
In China. So, Frank, what you got coming up this weekend?
We're going to be talking about this, actually. We're going to be talking about the incoherence that people have morally today, that they're for one thing and against another, and it doesn't always make sense.
Mm. Join Dr. Frank Turek, 9 a.m. Central Time, for Cross-Examined here on American Family Radio Saturday morning. Thank you, Frank.
God bless you guys. See you.
See you. We'll be back in a minute.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III of the Hamilton Corner.
This is something I'm going to say it, and you feel free to adopt it. In the United States of America, you have the right to your own delusion, but you cannot compel me to live by that delusion.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before. Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association. The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
President Trump has decided the best way to respond to those who want to tear down statues is to build even more. The president issued an executive order calling for the creation of a National Garden of American Heroes. The garden will honor people like Billy Graham and Booker T. Washington, Harriet Beecher Stowe, and the Wright brothers. None will have lived perfect lives, but all will be worth honoring, remembering, and studying, the president said. It's true none of us are perfect, something for the rampaging mob of culture jihadists to remember when they're turning American history into a pile of rubble. Let's hope the National Garden is heavily fortified. And I'm also glad to hear the president say all the statues and monuments must be lifelike. No abstracts, no modernist interpretations. One time I was at an art gallery, saw a painting of Davy Crockett. It looked like something a 3-year-old had scribbled in crayon. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to the program Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Walker, Fred, and Ray. Thank you for listening to AFR. Hey, if you don't get one of our, if you run out of one of our radio station signals, you can also, you can use our app. Right, Walker?
That's right, the AFR app.
Just go to AFR on your smartphone or your iPad or similar devices, and you can listen to AFR anywhere you go, as long as it has high-speed internet. And, you know, most places in America, you have high-speed internet now. Fred, next story.
Yes, the Republican governor of Georgia has called out the National Guard, saying they are needed to protect state property, patrol our streets, particularly in Atlanta, where over the July 4th weekend, 31 people were injured and 5 people killed after weeks of violent crime and property destruction in Atlanta. Very different from how the governor of Washington State responded to the chop zone out there. Remember, he, along with the mayor of Seattle, hey, it's the summer of love. It's a festive gathering down there in those 3 to 6 blocks of Seattle. And, of course, we know what happened. 2 people were murdered there, both African-Americans. And then the mayor decided to do something about it. Well, of course, yesterday we know the mayor of Atlanta, she finally got upset with what's being called Chop 2 in her city. She allowed a bunch of armed thugs to control an area of that city around where the Wendy's was destroyed in the wake of the death of that African-American man there. And she allowed them to continue their patrolling, so-called patrolling in that area of Wendy's, until They shot and killed a little 8-year-old girl on the weekend there. So the governor, Republican governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, yesterday announcing, hey, listen, we're sending in the National Guard. We're going to return law and order to that city. Georgia Congressman Doug Collins talking about that this morning on Fox and Friends, cut number one.
I'm glad to see that the governor has brought out the National Guard. It's been something we need to see done. We need to give support to our local police down there. And I think the governor has done the right thing here. I applaud his actions. I would hope also that as we look at this, he will continue on and join what I've called one of the reasons that actually started this was the DA in Fulton County, Paul Howard, actually charging officers before the investigations were finished, which caused the Atlanta Police Department to not believe anybody has their back. They've had to disengage. So hopefully this will be a time I hope the governor will help call on him to step aside so we can get an independent prosecutor there, because what we need is the Atlanta Police Department to be able to do their job and be able to clean out these areas without having to fear someone not having their back from higher up.
The similarities between Seattle and Atlanta are absolutely incredible, and Congressman Collins kind of referred to it. In both cases, the Democrat leadership in these cities basically told the police to back off. Do not interfere with what these domestic terrorists, as some would call them, are doing. We're going to stand back, let them take control of a particular area of the city, and then the cops are threatened with defunding in both those cities, so they stand back, and then violence occurs inside these zones.
Yeah.
And then the politicians are saying, oh my goodness, we need to do something about this. It's just incredible.
Walker.
Yeah, you can't have it both ways. You can't bring charges against a police officer who, in my opinion, was justified at the Wendy's in Atlanta several weeks ago, but then and then basically discourage your police from enforcing law and order, but then complain when crime happens and when an 8-year-old is shot outside of Wendy's in Atlanta. So you can't have it both ways. Either you're for law and order and you have to clamp down and arrest these people who are protesting without a permit and destroying property and killing people. You have to do that. And if you don't, this is what you get. So the Atlanta mayor, this is really her problem. She fostered this environment.
The governor's about to bail her out.
Yeah, no, that's a problem too. But the mayor of Atlanta, this is her. She fostered an environment where police are shamed for doing their job and even charged and indicted, and where criminals get to do what they want, and then she's complaining about it.
Well, maybe Ray, I said the governor's about to bail her out, as if that's wrong. He is charged with oversight of the whole state of Georgia. So to intervene here,
he's doing his job, isn't he? The mayor ought to be the one taking the lead. But Walker's 100% right. This was her policy. It happened on her watch. The whole thing fell apart because she didn't support the police.
The governor's having to be the adult in the room.
Yep.
That's exactly right. So yeah. He's doing the only thing he can do, which is try to protect the citizens of the city of Atlanta. He's doing the mayor's job for her.
Right.
She
tested positive for COVID too yesterday. Did you see?
Yes. That? Yeah. This is the problem. Is we're turning into Mexico, and that's where the troops control and run the streets. The military runs the streets because the mayors and governors are all corrupt. And we're not there yet, but that's what we're seeing is the military has to come in, even if it's the National Guard and not active duty military, but the military comes in because the local police departments aren't able to do their job, which we really shouldn't be here. The local police department should have all the resources necessary to do their job. And as my problem is this going to be the norm? Is that we're going to have National Guard troops patrolling the streets in Atlanta for the foreseeable future?
Well, in Mexico, you got a problem with drug cartels,
right?
Who are very powerful, but corruption is a big problem in a lot of places in the world, Mexico included. Well, corruption's a problem here in the U.S. too, but not to the extent that it is in other parts of the world. Well, these big cities are the mayors are losing control, but they're doing so voluntarily.
Yeah, they're giving up control.
In a lot of ways. Why do you think, Fred, that is? Why do you think, for example, why do you think the mayor of Atlanta sits there while these people control this area around this Wendy's, wherever that was exactly? Why do you think they allow this to go on until tragedy strikes, like it did out in Seattle, and then they say, "Oops, we gotta correct this thing. We gotta clean this thing up." Why do you think they allow it?
I think the initial decisions by these mayors are based on a belief in their mind that they want to show support for the narrative of the moment that this is a racist country and that these people are just part of the protest. And they're willing, where they make the mistake is they believe by giving them control of parts of the city, as they did in Seattle, as they did in Atlanta, that they are showing support for that cause. But what they're not recognizing is the reality, as we saw in Seattle, as we saw in Atlanta over the weekend, is that the people they're giving control to are basically domestic terrorists. They're carrying high-powered weapons.
Killing eight-year-olds.
They are threatening. In the case of Atlanta, a Fox News crew was threatened at gunpoint.
Right.
For just wanting to go and do a story on what was happening in this particular area. So they're allowing hoodlums, they're giving hoodlums control of an area at the same time telling their police departments, stand back, don't do anything about this.
Right.
They are derelict in their duty.
Yeah. Well, we'll see when she comes up for re-election. I don't know whether that is, but I remember the mayor in Baltimore after all the looting and rioting and burning down of, you know, so much of in Baltimore. Remember after when they started rioting there, and the mayor said, "We have to give them room to riot."
Yes.
Yeah.
I never will forget reading that. That's what she said. We have to give them room to riot, to express their rage, and basically that's what they said meant. Some of the leaders there in Minneapolis said so. But you know what? It's up to the citizens of Atlanta to hold their mayor and their city council accountable for the actions or inactions that they take. And we'll see if that happens next go around whenever she's up for re-election. But the governor of the state of Georgia is stepping in and using the National Guard to stop the lawlessness.
Yes.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Fred.
Well, there's a couple of headlines I just wanted to read to you this morning. A wide receiver with the Philadelphia Eagles, DeSean Jackson, has been accused of anti-Semitism. He's been putting quotes by Adolf Hitler out there and praising Louis Farrakhan. And the quotes from Hitler, of course, very anti-Semitic. I'm not even going to read them. They're that bad.
But to be fair, is he commending those quotes to the public, or is he saying these are terrible quotes?
Oh, no. Oh, no. He's commending. He's commending. He's a hero. He believes Louis Farrakhan. It's a hero.
Adolf Hitler? Really?
Wow.
What is it?
DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
And he's quoting Adolf Hitler. And what Adolf Hitler had to say about Jewish people. The issue here is anybody, the team ownership of the Philadelphia Eagles, are they saying anything? As of when I came in the studio 45 minutes ago, nothing. Nothing from the NFL about DeSean Jackson. No condemnation.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if we don't hear something in the next few hours on this. That's quoting Adolf Hitler and the Louis Farrakhan, the Farrakhans.
That ought to be a quick way to lose your job, Tim. Yeah. Doing something in the NFL.
Farrakhan is well known for his anti-Semitism and his he can't stand white people either.
Yeah.
He's been clear about that pretty much for his career. What's the attraction to Farrakhan, you think, Ray, do you know? You mean,
well,
for those who subscribe to his ideology, he has a conspiratorial view of the world that the Jews are holding people down, right?
Right, right. He is a mesmerizing speaker. If you watch him, I mean, he's one of those guys. He's got that gift, right? He can stand in front of the audience and say things that are just absurd, anti-historical, completely untrue, and the audience eats it up because he's playing to them. But he is. In the secular sense, he's a very charismatic, very compelling kind of speaker. And he gets there. He says what his hearers want to hear and reinforces their own prejudices. And he's very good at it, too.
Yeah.
Well, Farrakhan went to Barack Obama's old church. And when the media finally reported that Farrakhan spoke at Barack Obama's church there in Chicago, then Barack Obama said, I'm not going to go to that church anymore. But it was only when the media drew attention to the fact that the pastor of that church praised Farrakhan that finally Barack Obama... I think what it goes to with Farrakhan, it's kind of black power. It's, you know, racism is holding you down, black people of America.
Yeah, it's race-baiting rhetoric.
It's what it is. But here's the thing, and Tucker Carlson kind of addressed this last night on his program on Fox. He talked about racism in this country, and the examples of racism really come from the left. Real racism in this country come from the left. And he gave an example, and I had not heard this until last night. Tucker Carlson talked about this, and this is going to be cut number four, Brent. He talked about Lincoln County in Oregon. Now, just listen to this, what they did. The leadership in Lincoln County, Oregon, and you'll find it hard to believe, folks, so let's just play it.
2 weeks ago, Lincoln County, Oregon issued a requirement that all white residents wear masks. Non-white residents were exempted from the order. The county didn't say anything about segregating water fountains, but it was just a matter of time. When bad publicity forced officials to rewrite the order, they blamed white racism. Americans were immoral, they suggested, for not welcoming laws that punish citizens on the basis of their skin color. We could go on. This kind of stuff is everywhere. You see it. Everyone knows it. Nobody says anything about it. So in the absence of any principled pushback, the race haters get bolder, crazier, more obviously dangerous.
So what Tucker Carlson is saying there, that the real racism in this country is coming from the left. But they're made heroes because they have a leftist agenda. The media doesn't call them to attention. You're not going to hear that Lincoln County, Oregon story, I don't think, anywhere else but on Fox.
Mm-hmm. Walker,
yeah, that was baffling. But they ended up taking it back after some pushback. But whoever's idea it was to begin with,
right?
Exactly. To be racist and discriminatory on mask wearing... Is unbelievable. How come somebody didn't say this is nuts,
right?
Yeah, what attorney's desk did that pass through before they presented it?
You could that is one of those things where you're thinking intelligent people sat around and discussed this and came up with this plan.
These are elected officials.
Hey, you could argue if you're non-white that hey, they're wanting us to get sick here.
Yeah, not wearing masks.
Because they tell us we don't have to wear a mask. It's not funny. I'm just saying that sounds funny.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Move on, Fred, before I get in trouble.
All right.
Doing something inappropriate.
Under the heading of jobs I would not want is Kayleigh McEnany, the White House spokesperson.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why people take the job in the Trump administration of going daily out in front of reporters there for the daily briefing.
I think she relishes it.
She handles herself extremely well.
Yeah.
And she's a Christian lady. You know, she's a smart lady. I think she's a graduate of Yale. But she goes out there yesterday, and I guess it's becoming one of my favorite programs because I like to watch how she handles things. But yesterday... She took about 12 questions, I think, the same question over and over again, With regards to the president's tweet, and full confession here, the president sometimes doesn't make her job any easier. Because yesterday, he tweeted out earlier in the day something about Bubba Wallace, IndyCar driver.
NASCAR driver.
Yeah. Not apologizing yet for the noose incident. And we all know how that ended up. The FBI said it wasn't a noose, it was just a pull down.
Yeah, the president was about 10 days late on that one.
10 days late.
Yeah.
But all the questions yesterday dealt with that. In the wake of, as we've been reporting, of the horrible deaths, citizens, kids in various American cities over the weekend. So before she left the podium yesterday, Kayleigh McEnany, she turned the tables on the reporters, and this is what she had to say. Cut number two.
I was asked probably 12 questions about the Confederate flag. This president's focused on action, and I'm a little dismayed that I didn't receive one question on the deaths that we got in this country this weekend. I didn't receive one question about New York City shootings doubling for the third straight week, and over the last 7 days, shootings skyrocket by 142%. Not one question. I didn't receive one question about 5 children who were killed. And I'll leave you with this remark by a dad. It broke my heart. A dad of an 8-year-old lost in Atlanta this weekend. They say Black Lives Matters. You killed a child. She didn't do nothing to nobody, was his quote. We need to be focused on securing our streets, making sure no lives are lost, because all Black lives matter. That of David Dorn and that of this 8-year-old girl.
Yeah, that, and she's done this a couple of times
mic
now.
Mic drop.
Yeah, she turns the tables on those reporters and then walks away. She'll even from time to time, here's 5 questions you should be asking.
Yeah.
I tell you, she's small in stature, but boy, she's got a big heart and big shoulders.
Very smart.
Mm.
Yeah, the lack of diversity when it comes to questions
and
the press briefing is embarrassing.
They were asking her about the Confederate flag.
Well, the thing is, these folks are, quote, seasoned journalists, and they all go in there and ask about the same thing over and over again.
Yes.
Which is so boring.
It's gotcha questions.
Yeah, and then you've got these cities that were murders up 100% to 200%, sometimes 300% and 400% year over year, and they're not going to talk about it. 8-year-old shot in Atlanta outside of Wendy's, nobody's going to ask about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, she is doing a great job, I think, for the president.
It's absolutely amazing, and as I say, you got to be brave to be able to go out there, but she keeps her cool all the time. Here's the thing. You talk about the media. Yesterday, Monday, coming out of this weekend, coming out of the president's 2 speeches on the weekend. Here's how the media covered the president's speeches on the weekend. And this is a quote from a couple of the news agencies. President stokes division in his speeches. He stokes division. What was it that the president said in his speeches? We played a couple of excerpts yesterday. The president was talking about the problems in this country right now. He was talking about the violence. He was talking about the anarchist activity in this country. But somehow the media turns around that because he's responding to what other people are doing, that somehow he is the one who is spoking division.
Mm-hmm.
Not the people who are doing these things, these horrible things, killing innocent citizens in these cities. They're not the problem. They don't want to talk about that, but they do want to talk about the president saying, we have to stop this. We have to stop the destruction of our historical figures. They don't want to talk about that, but somehow they accuse him of being the one who is stoking division in this country.
Yeah,
it's amazing what's going on with the. I hope but folks it,
you know what
this. It,
like Ed said. You know, the masks are off. We all know. We all know now that particularly CNN, MSNBC, they're against President Trump all day, every day. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned the other night during the president of the United States. He's given a speech, and it's a celebration of our country's birthday, Independence Day. It's on July 3rd. He's at Mount Rushmore, one of the most iconic tributes to our country's history. And so Fox is covering it live. C-SPAN's covering it live. And I turn over to CNN, and they've got a special called The President and the Pandemic. You can imagine how fair that was. I didn't watch but a couple of minutes, to be fair. But I know it was clear what they were doing. You know, they were spending their hour or two where they could be broadcasting from Mount Rushmore. And they were spending them, you know, President Trump is responsible for COVID-19 in America and all the deaths related to it. So they're the CNN, especially, they're all in with Trump hating and Trump bashing. So we know where they stand now, right? So you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. I will say this about Fox. Yes, their shows in the evening are hosted by conservatives, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Shannon Bream. However, they will have on people from the left.
Oh, yes.
To have a discussion with them or a debate or an interview with them. So they don't exclude, you know, that message from being, and you need to hear from people who are on the other side of issues so that you can understand them, and you can, because you need to be able to defeat their arguments. So, but again, I don't watch CNN a lot, so I just know that Ray, when I the few times that I turn it over there during a month to watch something, it's almost, it's like five people on there, and they're all going after Trump.
Right. Look, if you want to see real ideological diversity on TV, your only place to go is Fox News. You'll never see diversity on MSNBC. They're not even trying, right?
CNN. No, they're if they have a Republican on, it's a never-Trumper.
Yes.
Right.
That's right.
That's right.
So, I think CNN and MSNBC run the risk of going out of business completely when President Trump's gone. Because if he's there, they don't even have to do a show prep.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
For their schedule, they just come out, they just get up in the morning and go, what is Trump for today? And then have on people who are against what he said.
Right.
Seriously, he's good for business, if you want to put it that way, for CNN and for MSNBC.
Yeah.
We got a couple minutes left, Fred. What else you got?
Yeah, a story that I think is going to be worth watching over the coming months, and the headline is this from The Hill. Americans leave large cities for suburban areas and rural town. It's a fascinating story. We only have, as you say, a few minutes, but it's talking about people getting out of New York. They're fleeing to the boroughs and beyond. And also California, there's been a huge uptick of Californians asking about real estate availability in Montana. So we know what's going on in those cities, and we also know what's going on out there with regards to both politics and violence. And so people are leaving. You don't get this story again in the mainstream media, but I think it speaks to reality. These people, even liberals, they may from time to time show support for liberal policies, but when it comes to the reality of living in a Democrat-controlled state or city, we want to get out of here. They are fleeing these areas. We're only going to see an uptick in that.
All right, thank you, Fred.
You are welcome.
Oh, that wonderful news, Fred. You just blessed my heart, brother, this whole hour. Okay, we shall return. Steve Jordahl.
Yes.
He'll continue.
He'll brighten your day.
He'll continue to brighten our day when he comes over in just a moment. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
All right.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.